3 weeks after Tropical Storm Jean swept through the Caribbean, the northern Haitian city of Gonaïves is still struggling. The storm unleashed floods and mudslides that killed almost 2,000 people there. Nearly 900 more remain missing and are presumed dead. Tens of thousands are still hungry and dependent on international agencies for food and clean drinking water. NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro reports this latest disaster is a direct result of an ecological crisis that's been building in Haiti for years.
The coastal city of Gonaïves lies on a wide plain. The water that came rushing down from the mountains swept away almost everything in its path and then settled, unable to be absorbed. Today, the floodwaters are slowly receding. A thick, viscous mud now coats much of the ground. Prosper Remonis slowly rakes away the dirt and debris from where his home once stood. 13 houses on this family parcel of land were destroyed. 8 of his family members died in the flash flood. Their bodies have yet to be found. The only house still intact is made of concrete. 30 people now live in the small two-room structure. Family member Edna Pochette says she doesn't understand why this has happened. I've lost everything, she says. I'm in God's hands now. Haiti was once called the Pearl of the Antilles. It was covered in lush forest. Now only between 1% and 2% of those forests remain. Haiti can only provide about 40% of its food. Despite the high rainfall, Haiti is in the midst of a water crisis. The lakes are shrinking. The rivers have dried because the land has no capacity to absorb. Desert areas are forming where green foliage once thrived.
We've seen in the last decades in Haiti tremendous and very fast deforestation.
Lias Farouki works on Haiti's environment for the United Nations Development Program, or UNDP.
Gonaïves is a direct result of the environmental degradation in this country. There are other Gonaïves waiting here in the country to happen.
As a recent helicopter ride showed, to truly understand the scale of what is happening to Haiti's environment, the country must be seen from the air. The mountains that dominate 80% of the land look like a face that has been badly shaved. There are sporadic clumps of stubble-like trees, but everything else has been scraped clean. Rivers choked with silt look like white scars. Haiti's trees were first culled in large numbers during the 1700s in French colonial times. Haiti was France's richest colony in the Americas. When Haiti gained its independence in 1804, France demanded a huge sum in compensation. That colonial debt was partly paid by massive exportation of precious woods such as mahogany. Today, Haiti is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. Decades of privation, a UN embargo in the 1990s, political turmoil, and a lack of infrastructure have left Haiti unable to supply its people with a constant flow of electricity. Dozens of women selling charcoal in this Port-au-Prince market squat next to their woven baskets, brimming with blackened wood, baked in the countryside, and then shipped here in large trucks every day. Charcoal and wood supplies a staggering 75% of the country's energy needs. And it's not just used for cooking by individuals. Dry cleaners and bakeries use wood for fuel as well. Efforts have been made to replant Haiti's hillsides, but with limited success. Haitians, desperate for fuel, cut down many of the trees before they can grow. However, some in the Haitian community are trying to teach a better way. High in the mountains surrounding the capital, Port-au-Prince, Haitian conservationist Jane Wynn tours her 30-acre ecological reserve.
This is the beginning of the founding of the reserve.
Her American father founded the reserve in the 1950s after taking a Haitian wife and settling down here. The Wynn family now hosts conservation workshops and soil conservation projects. The reserve is a wonderland of plants, trees, and animals. Poor subsistence farmers, though, have been slowly encroaching, cutting trees, and letting their animals graze on rare plant species. Wynn says developers also threaten the area.
That's the road they were building, the same road we saw down there.
Jane Wynn leans on her bamboo walking stick as she points to a road that has been cut into the mountain. Developers, backed by what Wynn says are corrupt or indifferent political forces, want the road to go through the reserve. It would lead to a gated community yet to be built. She's in a legal battle to stop it. Wynn says that projects like hers can only do so much. Laws passed in the late 80s to stop the trees from being cut in protected areas have largely been ignored.
There's absolutely no enforcement of the law to protect the soil. And that's what's killing Haiti. And I'm sorry, it's dwindling, Haiti's dwindling away into the ocean. And I feel bad.
Haiti has suffered dozens of coups, civil wars, and invasions in its 200 years of sovereignty. That political instability has meant that there's been no policy to stop the environmental degradation. Conservationists and development workers say that this is a race against time. Haitian environmentalist Pierre Chauvet is lobbying the government here to act now by placing and enforcing a moratorium on cutting trees.
I think Haiti is at a crossroad. Whereas if this generation doesn't change the path, well, we don't know what's going to happen with the next generation. And hopefully this generation will turn things around.
Chauvet says that people now are caught in a vicious cycle of poverty and want. The land can no longer give them what they need to survive. Vast slum areas where they have migrated to circle the sea. Disease is rife. A mournful ballad that has become popular following the Gonaïves tragedy speaks of the rape of the land here. It's called For Haiti. Forgive me, my brothers who beat you up and slap you, it says. Forgive them, honey, for ripping your clothes away, for mistreating you. They do that without thinking. The song is frequently played after news on the floods. Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News, Port-au-Prince. Haiti.